And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Father, we ask that you will help us to understand, to perceive the message of your word, and to incorporate the power of that word into our living, for the power of that word is the power of the living word of God, even Christ, our Savior. In his name, amen. Well, we come to the last couple of sentences of this book of Genesis, which tell us that after Joseph died and was embalmed, his mummy, his bones, his remains, were put into a coffin and preserved so that his ancestors could carry out the promise that he exacted from them before he died, that one day when God took them back to Canaan, the promised land, they would carry his remains back with them to the land of promise. Now, we've already looked a few weeks ago at the death of Jacob, and we've seen something of the principles, the theological principles, the thinking that lay behind his request and his dying. But I think that there's something else that we should notice that's implied in this request of Joseph. It's the world view that the Hebrews had. I wonder what world view you have. Recently I've been asked by one or two members of our congregation about a world view which is coming into popularity and prominence here in the United Kingdom. The New Age. I wonder if you've heard of New Age. It hasn't really hit Northern Ireland yet, but I suspect it's going to. All over Britain, New Age is spreading. I was speaking recently to the Reverend Frank Seller, and he told me that New Age is rampant in Dublin. While on holiday this past week, I bought myself a New Age magazine. It's all about astrology, tarot cards, candle rituals, the mystic power of cats, clairvoyance, and so on. And I thought I'd read you just a few snippets about New Age, because we're going to be thinking about it for a moment. Here's an advertisement on the back for a shop called Mysteries, London Psychic Shop and New Age Centre. Books and magazines, all mystical, spiritual and New Age subjects covered. New section devoted entirely to all aspects of alternative medicine and holistic living. Pendulums, healing crystals, tarot games, posters, ionizers, massage equipment, jewelry, rainbow crystals, chimes, oils, incense, candles, runes, etc., and enormous audiovisual department with the largest section of New Age music tapes and LPs in Britain. Also hundreds of subliminal self-hypnosis and instructional tapes, CDs and videos available. And then on the second page inside is an Earth Spirit Festival 91 being advertised. It takes place a couple of weekends in February in Camden Exhibition, the Camden Exhibition, Camden Town Hall Centre, opposite St Pancras Station. And you can come and see our large selection of crystals, books, New Age music on tapes, crafts, psychic readings, essential oils, etc. And then there's another advertisement from Laura Devere. Let me help you to discover the real you and guide you through your own very planet chart. Your very own planet chart. Gain a deeper understanding of yourself and others. Discover the pattern of order of the planets, which reveals both your individuality and your destiny. You can benefit from the planetary influences that bring you happiness and good fortune. Your natal chart wheel can be had for £12. Your personal chart and reading for the year, £10. And if you get both, you get a discount of £4 and can have the two for £18. And then we come to programming our minds for success. The finest subliminal tapes at the lowest prices ever. New breakthrough in mind power, remarkable results. the exciting breakthrough of subliminal programming has been featured on such respected publications as the New York Times, Psychology Today, and the Wall Street Journal. In fact, subliminal techniques are currently being used by leading hospitals and professional therapists worldwide. But now the subliminal process has been propelled to unparalleled heights with amazing new subliminal success cassettes. Known within the industry as the Rolls-Royce of mind reconditioning, these ultra-powerful, high-quality subliminal tapes combine years of scientific research with state-of-the-art technology to stimulate fast, permanent, and positive changes in almost any area you can imagine, including memory improvement, financial prosperity, weight loss, high esteem, and overall good health. And then there's a big long list of about 40-odd tapes that you can get. And they include Healthy and Fit, Total Pain Relief, Permanent Weight Loss, Stop Smoking Forever, Powerful Immune System, Healing Fast, Flat Stomach, Positive Self-Image, Super Self-Confidence, Millionaire Mindset, Money Magnetism, Reach Any Goal, Personality Dynamics, Release Psychic Powers, Lucid Dreaming, Power Selling. And you can even multiply your savings. One tape on how to do that costs £15, two tapes £26, three tapes £36, and you can get five tapes on multiplying your savings for a mere £50, and you have to add postage and packing of £2. And on that subject, and there's an awful lot about multiplying your money in New Age, there's an agony column and there's one financial help, and the letter says, I'm in desperate need of financial help and have tried all the rituals, talismans and charms, but all to no avail. Other people step in and other forces seem to prevent me ever winning, so what else is there? And then a name and address is given. And the answer is, sometimes the time is not right for an increase of wealth, but when it is, there is no stopping it. Bad vibes are not, so look ahead. Meanwhile, ask the gnomes, the earth elementals, to help you. The gnomes of Zurich, the financial wizards, are not called gnomes for nothing. Their influence is definitely monetary, so try this tack. Just one other little advert to give you a little sample of some of the things which are done in the name, at least, of New Age. Miraculous power, wealth, popularity, and success can be yours with the aid of Nicholas Darkwood. Pyromancer. Pyromancy is the dynamic art of fire magic. Throughout space and time exists a vast mystic power, the eternal flame, untapped by man since the fall of the Roman Empire. Under Nicholas Darkwood, master adept of the magic arts, discovered a collection of ancient Roman manuscripts on pyromancy, the art of tapping and channeling the power of the eternal flame to make your heart's desire come true. Any desire at all. And now, after 2 decades of testing and mastering this art, Nicholas Darkwood is making the power of pyromancy available to you. His pyromantic spiral spells are each personally consecrated by him and contain full instructions so that no previous magical experience is necessary. Send your £10 now. And one last one, the psychic switchboard. You can dial a love spell. Bring love, affection into your life by casting your own powerful love spells on, and the numbers given. Or you can get into the cosmic rhythm and influence people with your mind to achieve your desires, dial a psychic spell. Or you can become a money magnet and obtain unlimited wealth and riches. Just listen and perform the money spells, dial a money spell, and there's a number for that. And calls are charged at 33 pence off peak, 44 pence normal per minute. Well now, what's it all about? New Age thinking. I have to say, it's not just idiots. Do you know that the TSB, the bank that likes to say yes, they produced a magazine last year for their young clients, and it carried a very explicit article about New Age, explaining its theory, urging young people who wanted to find out about New Age to write to the editor for more information in order to become New Agers. Scientists, psychologists, psychiatrists, scholars from many different disciplines are turning to what's known as New Age thinking. Why, and what lies behind it all? Now, I'm going to try and do the impossible and sum up very, very briefly the theory behind New Age thinking. New Age thinking is actually a reaction against materialism. Now, by materialism, we usually mean money and possessions and cars and holidays and clothes and all that money can buy. But when we're thinking about New Age, we have to use the term materialism in a far wider sense. You see, 20th century materialism arises in part from 20th century science. And 20th century science has tried to explain everything in logical, demonstrable equations. You don't believe something unless you can prove it. And for many decades now, people have believed that all the mysteries of life can actually be proved or explained in the science laboratory. But many significant and influential scientists are moving away from that position. I quote one, Professor Paul Davis of the Physics Department of Newcastle University. And we have members of our congregation, students at Newcastle. He's written a book called Cosmic Blueprint. And in it he thinks about the millions of mysteries of the universe which have no explanation. I give you just one example. Take the migration of birds. We know that birds migrate between Africa and Europe. We also know that in their migration they navigate by the stars. But the pattern of the stars at night is a moving pattern. Because just as the moon moves through the skies relative to the earth, so the stars move relative to the earth. So the swallow, for example, has to be familiar and know inside out that great moving planetarium in the heavens. Now, seamen used to navigate by the stars, but in order to be able to do this, they had to attend classes for 3 years. And yet the birds never attend any classes. Imprinted indelibly into the DNA, into their genes, is the innate knowledge of the Earth's stratosphere and that ever-moving, ever-changing pattern of the heavens. And along with millions of other miracles of nature, such as the migration of birds, Professor Paul Davis and an increasing number of scientists are admitting there is no explanation. They say there is a blueprint, a cosmic blueprint. That's the title of his book. But where does it come from? In the book, he leaves the question open, unanswered. But New Age has an answer. New Age delights in the quantum theory. Now, to try and understand the quantum theory, and I don't think I do, and I asked Peter Moore this morning if he did, and he wasn't too keen to say he did, but to try and understand it, let me define a thing. A thing is recognized by our knowing where it is and how fast it's moving. I am a thing, and so are you. We are here, and we're not moving. We're sitting static. Your car that you'll drive home in this evening, if you drive home, is a thing. You know where it is, and you know how fast it's moving if you watch the speedometer. Your house is a thing. You know where it is, and you know it's not moving. But there's something else that we know about things. We know what they're made of. Your house is made of building blocks consisting of stone or brick, along with metal and wood and slate. And if you take each of the material things that things are made of, you can break them down even further to molecules and atoms. So you know what they're made of. But when we get down to the atom, we believe that atoms are made of electrons. But, and here's the point, no one knows what electrons are made of. There we enter the realm of the unknown, like the cosmic blueprints. But the mystery deepens. I understand that Einstein predicted that if you had two electrons, one over there and one over there, even though they were a million miles apart, and you turn over one of the electrons, immediately the other electron will turn over. Because the mystery of electrons is that they are interconnected. More, when electrons are being observed by the scientist, they behave in a different way to the way they would behave if they were not being observed by the scientist. And that suggests that not only are electrons interconnected, but we are interconnected with electrons. In other words, there is a mysterious link between humanity and this cosmos in which we live. Now, New Age is into this mysterious link. It makes very much of it. It enters it through astrology, through tarot, through clairvoyance, through psychometry, through graphology, through biorhythms, and so on. In its eagerness to explore further this interconnection between the cosmos and human beings. And so New Agers wear crystals, a moonstone for love, a jade for protection, bloodstone for wealth, amethyst for calm nerves, and so on, in the belief that stones and crystals somehow enhance the wearer's interconnection with the cosmos. All this, and far, far more, is the theory behind New Age. Let's ask another question. Where does New Age come from? It was C.S. Lewis who said that there were only four world views for us to choose from. That is, four ways of understanding the world in which we live. First, he said, there's the Stoic view, but that's only for heroes. The Stoic view is that you grin and bear it. Then there is the atheist worldview, and in C.S. Lewis's view, that's for boys only, people that haven't grown up and learned to perceive that there must be some intelligence behind the world. These people who say it all happened by chance suggest that they let the wind blow in through their study and tidy it up and see what happens then. And so he rejects the atheist worldview for boys only. Then there's a third worldview which he calls the Hindu worldview. And finally, there's the biblical worldview. You might ask about the Muslim worldview, but it's actually a copy of the Bible's worldview, because strictly speaking, Islam is a heresy of Christianity. And you might ask about the Buddhist worldview, but it's just another form, a cousin of the Hindu worldview. So if C.S. Lewis is right, and I think he is, we reject the Stoic and we reject the atheist, and we're left with only two worldviews, the Hindu and the Judeo-Christian, the biblical worldview. Now, New Age is a revival of the Hindu worldview. It's a revival of pre-Christian paganism and draws its worldview not only from Hinduism, but from Egyptology, from pyramidology, from Druid religion, and other ancient religions, such as that of American Indians. And we have to say that all of these are explicitly pantheistic. That is, they believe that God is the same as the cosmos, the universe, as nature. And New Age is calling people back to think of nature as God, because of the mysteries of in nature which we can't understand, because of this interconnection between humanity and nature. And there is an interconnection, make no mistake about it. And so New Age is very green, taken up with ecology, with what we call a holistic view of the earth. Together with nature, we form a unity, and New Age encourages us to experience that unity, to explore it, to harness it. As the magazine says, to try and cast spells on people, love spells, spells to get your own way, to fulfill your own desires, to become rich, and so on. So New Age goes back to the beliefs of the ancient Egyptians, the Druids, the Red Indians, the Hindus, and from their writings is recovering arts, magic arts. That's where New Age actually comes from. A New Age expresses itself in scores of ways, in yoga, in meditation, in music, and so on. Now, here's a question. What has New Age got to do with the last few verses of Genesis? Over the past 5 years, on and off, we've studied about 90% of this book of Genesis, and unless we've all been fast asleep or entirely disinterested, we must have gathered at least something about another worldview entirely, the Bible's worldview. And there are certain simple points that we've learned from Genesis that we need to remember before we leave this book. First, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. In other words, God is not the same as the world he has created. He is separate from it, distinct from it, apart from it. It is the work of his marvelous hands and will and purpose and power. We saw a couple of years ago now when we were in Genesis 1 and 2 that there are three words used of God's activity in bringing the world into being. There's the word create, which means to bring something out of nothing. There's the word form, which means to take time to fashion with skill to perfect the work that has been begun. And then there's the word make, which means to use materials already there. And we saw that man was made from the dust of the earth. So there is an interconnection between the cosmos, the world, and humanity. We have a bond, an inseparable link with our environment. We are actually made out of it. Quantum ought not to surprise us. But the point is that God is apart from the world and is its creator, its maker, its fashioner. So that in that we have a first fundamental and major disagreement with New Age thinking. And we call that apartness, that otherness of God. As the world's creator, we call that his transcendence. That he is high and mighty and lifted up and quite apart from the work of creation which he has done. But then a second point we need to remember is this, that Genesis teaches not only the transcendence of God, the work that he has made and the things that he has formed as being separate from him, but it tells us something else. It tells us that God is present in the world and the universe that he has made. He's not like a watchmaker who makes a watch and then leaves it to tick away and keep the time all on its own and function quite apart from himself. No, right at the very beginning we find him in the garden. We find him walking and talking with the man and woman that he has made, enjoying their company. When Cain murdered his brother Abel, God was there and heard the cry of Abel's blood from the ground. When man became more and more wicked, God knew and saw and destroyed mankind through a cosmic act, preserving only Noah and his family. God made a friend of a man called Abraham and guided him and became very, very close to him. We've been seeing in recent months how God was with Joseph in the kitchens of Potiphar's house, in the dungeon, in his work as prime minister of Egypt. We've seen how old Jacob saw that God's hand had guided his whole life right to the very end. And we call that ever presence of God with his people, his immanence, his nearness. It means that he is near to us, he's close to us, so close that he will live within us. The great God who is separate from us and transcendent and apart from us will come and make his home in our lives. And in that the Bible is very different to New Age. For New Age says that God is the universe and that our interconnection with electrons is the same as our interconnection with God because they are God. A very different thing. Our Bibles teach us that God can actually distance himself from us and withdraw from us and does so because of our sin. And then thirdly, at last we come to our text. Joseph asked for his remains to be put in a coffin and for them to be taken sometime in the future when God would visit his people again back to Canaan, the land that God had promised his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather, because he believed that the God who was transcendent, so mighty and great, and the God who was immanent, so close and so dear to him, this same God would not forsake him in death, but would continue to be with him, so that in some way that he couldn't understand, he would remain part of his family and would inherit God's promises to them as well. Dying was not to be an eternal separation from them, and so they must solemnly promise to carry his remains with them when they returned. And we read also how Jacob was taken back to Canaan to be buried there. It's the first part of chapter 50. Now New Age knows nothing of this glorious hope. Oh, it has something to say about death. It actually teaches reincarnation, but it says that reincarnation is really a very tiresome and wearisome business, because you have to go through life over and over again, and you only at last escape life when you get out of that water wheel, passing from one paddle of the wheel to another in successive lives, when you break away from that kind of life and dissolve and finally become part of the great cosmic subconscious called Krishna. In Krishna you lose your identity and become like a drop in the ocean, just part of the cosmos, and that is your fulfillment, your end, your destiny, when that interconnection that humanity has with the cosmos is consummated. That's New Age. But nearly 2,000 years before the Lord Jesus, Joseph and Jacob and Isaac and Abram had another world view, another vision, another understanding altogether of the future. They saw that God was calling them home and giving them a real place among his people. And Jesus endorsed that when in the New Testament he said, there is a resurrection. God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Now in conclusion, what does this mean for you and me this evening? And the first lesson must be this, that not all that New Age teaches is wrong. They are right to reject the materialism of the past 100 years. They are right to acknowledge the mysteries of the cosmos. They are right in their claim of a holistic view of life, that humanity is somehow interconnected with the world of nature. They are right to be green and concerned about the cosmos and the world, the planet on which we live, and shame on us that we have neglected all of this, which we have done, when it's all taught in Scripture. But then secondly, we must be very, very careful about the New Age teaching. We must remember its world view is also the world view of Hinduism and Druidism and Egyptology and the Canaanite view and the Red Indians of North America, their view. Because the worldview of Hinduism has produced in India a caste system which has brought more suffering on the human race than any other single belief. And Druids and their religion practiced human sacrifice and child sacrifice, as did the Canaanites, whose belief are part of the New Age thinking. And Red Indians actually practiced ritual torture, whereby the victim who was being sacrificed was tortured to death over many days while the whole tribe looked on at the spectacle. And there are those who are into dark practices who are also into New Age. And we've heard something of the revival of satanic rituals in our land today through advanced forms, and I emphasize advanced forms, of the very cults commended for sale in the New Age magazine. Now, you might think that I've contradicted myself saying that not all that New Age says is wrong, and then warning that much that New Age leads to and comes from is evil, but that is so. The principle holds good in many areas of life. In art, for example, there can be beautiful and pure and lovely paintings. And who doesn't enjoy and appreciate the beautiful works of art? But in art, there can also be distortions and corruption and pornography and evil. And the third and final lesson of all this for us this evening is that we need to determine that we are going to understand more and more the world view which the Word of God gives to us. For the world view of the Bible has its center and its focus in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the transcendent one, the exact representation and the radiance of the high and mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, seated in the glory of heaven. He is there at his Father's right hand. And yet, our Savior comes and makes his home in the hearts and lives of those who humble themselves before him and receive his Spirit and his cleansing. And as he was with Joseph right through Joseph's life, so he will be with you and with me, if we are willing for him to be with us. And as Joseph died in glorious hope that he had a future with the people of God, so we have been taught by the Lord Jesus to believe that our poor bodies will be raised glorious bodies. They die earthly bodies, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But they have a future as spiritual bodies. They die perishable, but they're raised imperishable. They die weak, but they're raised eternally strong. They die mortal, but they are raised clothed with immortality. The lessons of Genesis, you see, are foundational for the whole Bible. And this ancient book of Genesis, far more ancient than any New Age teachings, far more clear, crystal clear, instructs us in the great secrets of life, that the mighty God cares for us, that the eternal Creator loves us, that the Almighty comes to us, not like some intruder making an occasional raid, but every second, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, right through our lives. It's actually a hijack, the name New Age. Those who have come to the Lord Jesus and accepted his forgiveness, his cleansing, have said yes to him and opened their hearts to his Spirit, they are already in his New Age, because his New Age begins right now and it goes right on through death into eternity, where we shall be ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, and with him in his presence, as Joseph saw by faith, forever.